Hey, you reached the Yahoo Fantasy Football Podcast. It's Liz.
And Matt.
And tonight is the first night of Hanukkah, plus we have 3 days until Christmas, so...
hand out some Week 16 presents, including a final round of applause for Jason Garrett.
Some love for Cliff Kingsbury.
Our condolences to the long-gone Seattle backfield.
And some mad props to the offensive juggernaut known as the Miami Dolphins.
We've got some thoughts on all the Week 16 games, so listen up.
Hello and welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Football Podcast. It is week 16, Sunday night. Liz Loza, Matt Harmon, Rhett Rader, Ragu, don't even try to get me to say your last name. We are here for it.
Welcome.
It's also the first night of Hanukkah, so happy Festival of Lights for those of you who celebrate. Last Sunday night of the fantasy season. And where are we? I've been away from my family for 4 months. I don't even know how many days out from Christmas are we?
Three.
My children say like there is an advent calendar that they put things on, but I have yet to check it.
Oh, man. Those are kind of nice. I always liked the advent calendar growing up.
I didn't get one of those growing up. Hashtag single mom life. So my kids have one. It is what? We're 3 days away from Christmas?
Yep.
All right. Well, speaking of Christmas, Matt.
Speaking of.
I would like to thank the Philadelphia Eagles because they have given me the biggest football gift. Not fantasy football gift, because if you started Zach Ertz, you're probably bummed by that rib injury. But they gave me the biggest football gift of the season, which was beating the Dallas Cowboys, which should, that's the caveat here, should ensure a Jason Garrett firing, which means, as we discussed on the episode earlier in the week, we don't have to talk about him in any damn field goals in 2020.
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, Cowboys, no more like awful fourth down decisions. Well, hopefully. I don't know. I still don't really try.
No more having Amari Cooper not on the field.
And not knowing why. Not knowing why. Like, he, you know, that was unbelievable, too, after the game. Jason Garrett has no idea why he wasn't on the field, or the reporters had to remind him there were multiple stretches where he exited the game. Like, what is Jason Garrett?
Can we just clap for him? This is the moment. Well done.
Clap for the clapper.
What gift did, in this matchup between Dallas and Philadelphia, did you receive?
Matt? Wait, are we giving them a gift or are they giving us gifts?
I just like any gifts. You getting gifts, you giving gifts, whatever it is you want to do. Gift it out.
Okay, because, I mean, the Eagles did nothing for me gift-wise, like, other than it's like, it's fun. I still am enjoying seeing kind of the new wave of the Eagles. Dallas Goedert goes 9 for 91. Greg Ward 71 yards. Like, that middle of the field action for the Philadelphia Eagles is spicy.
Miles Sanders sliding instead of scoring a touchdown, the chagrin of many a fantasy
he
owner.
Went full Westbrook. Yeah. Now that is carrying on the legacy of a great Eagles back right there. But if I was to give a gift to the Philadelphia Eagles, because the Eagles got a gift in that if all goes to plan and they are the NFC East winner, they are going to be facing a wildly undermanned Seahawks team in round one of the playoffs. They're going to get that NFC East playoff win that we have guaranteed on the podcast. But I still would love to get them a gift of like a real outside wide receiver. Let's see this team, because I'm impressed with the Eagles like finding other ways to win. Mm-hmm. But it's still not a fun watch.
I think that's fair. And also, I feel like this Dallas Cowboys, I mean, after the debacle with Amari Cooper today, I don't imagine a situation in which they pay him.
Yeah. I mean, it's so hard because I know
there might even be a conspiracy here, right?
What do you mean?
Well, he wasn't on the field, so he couldn't pad his stats. So when he goes into a negotiation, like, the numbers aren't there for him.
Well, I remember when he was like looking at trying to get Michael Thomas money that happened. Like, girl, please, like, you know who you are, know what you are capable of, and you're not capable of what Michael Thomas is. And like, I still think, and I know like some people just think Amari Cooper is like this absolute stud receiver. I still think he's too inconsistent on a game-to-game, route-to-route basis to be like an elite number one receiver. The production did not tell that story early in the season, but it's not as if he's ending the year with this tremendous bang. I don't know about conspiracies, but I do think like in the offseason that is going to be like a conversation worth having, because they have to franchise tag Dak, but there's no way there. And then what do they do with Cooper? Do they try to sign him to that long-term deal, or do they just let him walk into the wilderness?
Fantasy-wise, where are you drafting Ezekiel Elliott, assuming top five at the top of 2020? Like, where in that top five? Because we know CMC is going number one.
Kenyon Drake's going number two.
Stop. Stop. Nick Chubb's probably going in the top three.
Uh-huh. Is Kareem Hunt's a free agent, right? He's not.
I think he was just on like a one-year prove-it, right?
Yeah, yeah. So he could, yeah, Chubb could be like the dude next year. Like,
well,
he
he's
was
still
the dude most
even
of the year.
With Kareem Hunt in the mix, averaged over 20 opportunities per game.
I think he'd be right up there. He's going to be right up there with like the third overall pick, you mm-hmm. know, debating between like Barkley and him probably at number two.
So speaking then of stud running backs, let's move over to the New Orleans Titans matchup, New Orleans Tennessee matchup, because our boy, Alvin Kamara, finally scored not once, but twice. He also caught six balls for 30 yards.
This was it.
Yeah.
This was what we drafted him.
This is what we had
for.
Been saying was going to happen since, oh, I don't know, the week after the bye.
Did you hear from your buddy James Rodea at all?
No.
He's radio
he's
silent.
Like, legit. Like, but he did text me this question, and I did not answer it directly because I thought it would make a nice conversation for the podcast.
Well, that's big of you. That's big of you.
It's a generous season, 21. Where are you drafting Alvin Kamara next year on the heels of this disappointing effort?
Probably.
You know there's going to be all those hashtag burnt people.
Freaking two overall. Probably.
You think so? I think so many people are going to, like, David Johnson. I mean, we were wrong about David Johnson this year. But
sort of, for a while.
Takes,
you know, after a while.
He got hurt. And no one's really talking about the fact that probably.
He was good to start the year.
Like, until he got hurt, which definitely, you know, negatively impacted his production. But Alvin Kamara, so CMC number one, Ezekiel Elliott number two.
Yes. Although I'm close with Barkley, though, at two.
I would say Nick Chubb, Saquon Barkley, 3-4, Kamara, 5.
Right. Well, they're all after Kenyon Drake, who, of course, is 1.0.
And Brett Hundley as well.
Oh, yeah. You got it. Well, those super flex leagues. Yeah, you got to get Brett Hundley.
I got a question about that, but we'll wait. Hold on.
All right. No. Right now, I'm going CMC, Kamara, Barkley, Zeke, Chubb.
You're take locking on Kamara.
I'm not take locking. The guy's been hurt all year. Mm-hmm. Did you see, like.
I'm not asking you for your rankings. I'm asking you what anticipate.
I thought you said you.
Like you, the people, whatever. You're one of the people.
The people,
like,
the sheep. Where, sure. Yeah. The herd, I think.
Where do you anticipate he will go?
Behind Barkley
and Zeke.
And Zeke.
Yeah, same. Derrick Henry on the other side of this matchup, who is an absolute. It was like the reverse of last year. He didn't come on until the playoffs. And this year, he got you to the playoffs. And then that bulky hammy definitely
pieced out.
Him. Yep.
Yeah, it's a shame. I really hope he plays next week because the Titans are winning in. And I really want to see the Titans in the playoffs over the Steelers, of course. So I really hope Henry got the rest he needed in this game. It's not that like Deion Lewis was necessarily bad. He has been like invisible all year, but Lewis did catch a 19-yard pass and he was solid on the ground.
He's not an every down back.
No,
right? He just
not at all.
I don't think his frame can handle a workhorse load. All right, so are you giving a gift to either the Saints or the Titans?
I'm giving the gift of, oh man, there's a lot I'd love to give the Titans. Like, I'd love to give them obviously a gift of Derrick Henry, a Christmas miracle of being healthy next year. Mm-hmm. I mean, next week. But for next season, I want to see them. I want to give them the gift of clarity when it comes to the Ryan Tannehill situation, because this is going to be a tough one, right? I think these negotiations will be a tough one. I think he's going to get the franchise tag most likely, but it's just like, how much do you commit to this guy who's been so efficient, been really the turning catalyst of your team, but. Again, like, what is that? What is that word?
Not negotiate scared is my thought. Like, you put him on a 1 to 2 year deal. Maybe you give him a 2 year limited time deal and let him see if he wants to test the market. You got to let him test the market. This is the wilderness you talk about.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't think like he is going to want to walk when he's got AJ Brown helping him.
I think these two teams will see that like we're better together than we would be apart. Like, as much as the Titans definitely don't want to walk into quarterback wilderness because they've lucked into not having to do that. Like, they would love to sit here with Ryan Tannehill, because he's the one that kind of helped them avoid that potential wilderness going into this offseason, because Marcus Mariota, like, you know, is obviously dust.
Yeah. I think the gift that I would want to give to Tennessee, they already have, and it's Jonnu Smith, who, again, with Adam Humphries out of the lineup, found the end zone. He has been an absolute... If you want to talk about connections that Tannehill has made and little clues for next year, I mean, obviously the connection with A.J. Brown is massive, but also Jonnu Smith has been a revelation for this team. He was drafted to replace, to be the heir to Delanie Walker, comped similarly to Walker throughout the draft process 3 years ago. And now it's that next man up thing.
It's happening, yeah.
And he's delivering. So let's move on to the next matchup, which is the Cardinals at the Seahawks. Oh, the Bird Bowl. Let's do it. I have a weird question.
Okay.
So seeing Kyler Murray get injured and seeing him be disappointed by it, right? Everyone's talking about, we talked on one of the halftime shows, you made the point that like Kyler Murray could be a top five quarterback.
Yep. Light version of Lamar Jackson.
Right. For 2020 in terms of production. And then Brett Huntley comes in and we were all groaning about it, right? So I have to ask, and I know it's a marriage, we've also talked about that. What's better, Kyler Murray or Cliff Kingsbury?
I think these two guys together, like the, you said, it's the marriage and like it works best when they are together. Like, I don't think you could have had one be successful without the other. Maybe, although the thing that has impressed me so much about Cliff Kingsbury, and we talk about this on the halftime segment too, is his ability to adjust. So like, who am I coming out of 2019 more impressed with? I think I'm more surprised by Cliff Kingsbury.
Yep, that's it. You're right.
But I'm more impressed with Kyler Murray because of just what he's done, but I'm more surprised by what we've seen out of Cliff, because there was no, like, what we didn't know what to expect.
And Kyler Murray was the number one overall pick. He best ROI.
Right. Like, he's not, right. Yeah, like, oh, good. The number one pick is playing well. Damn, what a surprise.
But Kingsbury's ability to move from the four wide to using two tight end sets, and also as a rookie NFL coach, like, you want to talk about rookie NFL coaches, like, where's the comp to the Cleveland Browns and Freddie Kitchens?
Yeah.
You know, there's certainly, and we talk about the lack of depth that the Cardinals had and what they were able to do versus the richness of the roster in Cleveland. Huge disparity there. I want to talk about Seattle, though, because Chris Carson left this contest with an injury.
Out for the season.
Which is, I mean, the season's over.
Yeah, the season's over, but like, he will not be participating in
the postseason.
A fella named Travis Homer will be their lead back in the postseason.
Listen, I don't need Zach Schwartz blowing us up because you're not mentioning CJ Process.
I've already consulted with Schwartz about this. He's put out a tweet from his now verified Twitter account, which is, that's a hell of a thing. He says he's out of the CJ Process business for good.
Okay. Official. Did he borrow the press release from your people? Are you guys sharing a team now?
No, absolutely not.
Got it. Okay. I am thinking next year, like, let's, for fantasy purposes, this is a fantasy podcast, as much as you may not like that. Let's talk about the fact that not Penny Hardaway, he's a basketball player, Rashad Penny, is also injured and out. For next season, the battle between Carson and Penny, who are you putting all your chips in on? This year it was Carson and you were right.
Yeah, I think it's still probably going to be Carson. Less severe injury.
Penny did show up real good.
Penny
though.
Showed up great, but then he does incur the injury. I think he'll have the longer rehab. I would say the sharp play is probably still this. It could play out the exact same way that we see, see how it went down this year, which is just that, like, oh, it, you know, Carson starts off the year really hot and Penny comes on later.
Lions at Broncos. Give me Bluch or Lock. It's delicious.
Gross.
So delicious. This is like a Christmas ham. I don't even need ham.
Before you love a good Christmas ham. Before you arrived in the podcast studio, Liz, Brett, our fearless producer, made a Drew Lock Aaron Rodgers comparison, unironically.
I mean, it was being ironic. After you, of all people, Matt, started to pat yourself on the shoulder, on the back, about Deshaun Hamilton having
it took 16 weeks, man. Even he finally did something.
What I was trying to say is, when you have an elite quarterback, you know, they spread around the ball.
Yeah, with sneaky athleticism and an uncanny ability to extend plays.
Even guys like Alan Lazard pop off. Even guys like Deshaun Hamilton pop off when you have an elite quarterback. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
I mean, Tim Patrick has been a thing since, what, week 12?
Yeah.
Come on. Why, gosh, I would like to give some gifts here.
Yep.
Drew Locke has obviously been the biggest gift to John Elway's reputation.
What a,
I think they're going to stick with him.
What a classic comeback story. outside of the game in the snow, he's been statistically very good. I mean, he's still like not pushing the ball downfield, but then he doesn't have a ton of weapons.
Brad said it perfectly. I mean, he makes back in his college career in Mizzou, he makes mincemeat out of bad teams and he struggles against good teams. Like, that is, by the way, this had Matt Stafford. So this is the comp. Wow, it's all coming full circle. Had Matt Stafford been under center for Detroit, this would have been Drew Locke looking at what he has the potential to become.
Wow, I mean, yeah, I think that's fair. Stafford's having his best year, but I think that that's fair, like in terms of a ceiling comparison. Yeah. The thing for Drew Locke, like, it's worth noting that he doesn't have a ton of help around him.
Nope.
I would love to give him the gift of a real left tackle that his first move is not holding.
Oh, he gets Garrett Bowles holds in the, and you can hear on CBS just wave of boos coming down there.
Yeah.
He's not well liked.
I think Mike Lombardi said on his podcast you could put a Pepsi machine out there at left tackle and it would be better than Garrett Bowles, cuz at least the you'd have to go around the Pepsi machine, he wouldn't hold you. So, tough scene. I think they have no reason to not make Drew Locke at least the favorite in a quarterback competition next year. You'll be with a veteran, a Mariota-type veteran.
Our boy Kerryon Johnson came back, didn't do a whole bunch. Obviously, like, our friends, the footballers.
Yeah, the fantasy footballers.
The fantasy footballers, they love Kerryon Johnson. One of them in particular.
Jason Moore loved himself some Kerryon Johnson this year.
And,
yes, that one, Liz.
And obviously, the injuries, he was out from week 8 until now, so half the season. And I am wondering how that is going to affect his stock next year. You know, like, this is the second year in a row that he hasn't been able to stay healthy.
I would agree. I don't want to give the Lions any gifts. I'm mad at them right now. I think
they've not been
on their best behavior of late, making decisions like bringing Matt Patricia back next year.
We saw that, the writing on the wall.
Yeah, I know. Well, that doesn't, just because you see your kid destined to fail in the future doesn't mean you're not mad at him for doing it.
Speaking of destined to fail, let's talk about the Steelers and the Jets.
Yeah, the Steelers. Let's talk about the Steelers. Like, let's give them all their pats on the back. You know, let's make sure we get TJ Watt in the defensive player of the year conversation. Let's make sure we all
think of Fitzpatrick.
Give him a round of applause for the trade to get Minkah Fitzpatrick when they didn't have to give up what ended up being a top 5 pick. Great stuff. Tomlin, great coaching job, but that's enough. Get him out. I don't need to see a team. They've gone as far as this Mason Rudolph, Devlin Hodges, duck field combination can possibly bring them.
Okay? It is kind of fun to watch Devlin Hodges uncork just for the beginning of it.
It was,
and then you're like,
"Where's
it gonna go? Where's it gonna go? I don't know where this ball's
gonna
land.
Hell.
Like, who knows? You know, it's kind of like a card game. Like, will there be even a player on any of the teams
near
where the ball
going.
Falls down?
Yeah, I mean, it's to me, I've lost. I was in on Duck. Like, oh, this is cool. Like, he's fearless. He's bringing something to the table that Mason Rudolph certainly like did not bring. Now, though, like, again, we've seen enough. Like, this was already a team that was going to be in transition anyways this year. You know, Antonio Brown is gone. Le'Veon Bell officially gone. And then they lose their quarterback. Juju gets hurt, doesn't have a very good year. James Conner's hurt every damn game. To me, that's enough of the Steelers.
Yeah, Conner, I wonder what they're going to do at quarterback in terms of, but I wonder if Snell's going to be their main rusher next year, because Conner cannot stay healthy.
Yeah, I mean, he can't stay healthy, and like, also he has got one more year on a cheap contract, so he'll certainly be back, and he'll be,
and he's a local kid in the local markets like that. He went to Pitt. The over under on this game, by the way, was 36.5, and the point total was 26. So wow, gross.
Yeah, I mean, how embarrassing. You lose to the Adam Gase Jets.
I think Deontay Johnson was a nice find for team.
Yeah, he's,
and
he's
someone talking that needs to be on fantasy radars. I mean, radars heading into next year. He's going to be part of that glut of wide receiver threes that you hope you throw a dart at and get lucky with, depending on obviously what they have under center and what other pieces end up forming this entire offense.
James Washington kind of came on too.
Sure. Yes, he did. Not in this particular. No. I mean, he didn't find the end zone. It was Deontay Johnson that did it in week 16. But yes, I agree with you. Those are two future pieces that the team can hold on to and feel that kind of like rose to the top unexpectedly.
I agree. Yeah.
Remember Dante Moncrief? Remember that?
No.
Okay. You shouldn't. I think the biggest disappointment from this matchup, other than watching it, was that Adam Gase probably isn't going to get fired now.
Yeah, if I could give the gift to the Jets, it would be some clarity there too, which is just like don't lose the forest for the trees here. Let's just keep it moving. Like, just take a look around the league at all of my Adam Gase's expats and remind yourself why you definitely need to move on.
Le'Veon Bell next year. Do you think he's? I mean, he's gonna have to stay because of that contract. And is there a way for him to get out of it? Because Gase is gonna stay or Bell's gonna stay. I cannot fathom another year where they're both there.
Yeah, they're in a tough spot with this contract. I think he's probably back next year, and it's just gross.
Super, super gross.
They desperately need to improve the offensive line if they're going to keep Bell as their runner, because like his style and a bad offensive line really doesn't fit.
Patience, yep. Giants at Washington. I mean, this was a barn burner, as they say.
This was thrilling.
It was so great. Matt and I both fell asleep while watching it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's actually true. Had to be reminded a few times as to who scored the final touchdown for
Caden Smith.
The Giants.
It's Caden Smith.
The Giants, though, like Saquon Barkley's reemergence, it kind of reminds me that they're a pretty exciting offense, like in terms of the skill positions.
Exciting?
They've got good skill position players. Yeah.
I don't think there's anything exciting about this offense. Nothing. Small ball, totally predictable. Yeah, I mean, you're the like hashtag running back talent doesn't matter, and it's a team built around a running back as electric as he may be. I'm not excited to watch the Giants. I'm not excited to watch Daniel Jones. He's the perfect small ball, low floor, boring, breadstick eating quarterback.
I mean, breadsticks notwithstanding, 5 touchdowns today.
Against Washington.
Washington had started to play a lot better coming into this game.
Yep, they sure had.
They had. Mm-hmm. Those are the facts of the matter. They were 2-2 coming into this game. They had two close games with Philadelphia and the Packers, two teams that are going to the postseason. By the way, like, I don't know that you can use the word floor and Daniel Jones in the same sentence because he has no floor. But he has shown a ceiling in admittedly bad matchups against the Patriots. Not a bad matchup, but 3 touchdowns. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's 3 interceptions. I take that back. Against the Lions, 4 touchdowns. The Jets, 4 touchdowns. Washington, 5 touchdowns. Again, bad matchups, but the ability to take advantage of those receivers. Evan Ingram's not even here for this matchup. It's not.
You got Caden Smith. You don't need Evan Ingram. And also, Evan Ingram obviously is boys with Eli Manning. Get out of here. All right. I've been asking you all day, who would you rather have? Who would you rather build around, Daniel Jones or Dwayne Haskins? I'm going to change it up. Get ready, Matt. Here's my gift to you. Drew Lock or Daniel Jones?
Daniel Jones.
Oh, you're such a punk.
What was I? Please, was I possibly going to agree?
No, probably not. Any gifts you want to give to Washington?
I would say I don't want anything to happen to the man. But if Daniel Snyder had some sort of like religious awakening and wanted to go like live with the monks in some eastern land, I think that would be good for Washington. That would be a gift.
There was a thing in the news a couple of weeks ago where the Ford family just said, hey, just letting you know, we're not selling to Jeff Bezos. Now, man, if Mr. Bezos could step in there in Washington, little Amazon HQ3 going on there.
All right.
Get you, take you on a little robot from the parking lot to the
forget
stadium.
Forget FedEx Field. Let's Amazon Prime all of it.
Prime Field.
Prime Stadium.
Prime Field.
Let's go. I will say that Washington does have some pieces to be optimistic about, although they will inevitably be ruined by Snyder and company. But Terry McLaurin, that has been a revelation. Dwayne Haskins, we talked about playing better and better down the stretch, right? Steven Sims, who was this nobody, he was a fantasy damage player, but he has done quite well. I mean, there's no working tight end in this roster or offense right now, right? That's fine. But Trey Quinn was the guy they expected to do something. He could never, didn't matter how many times he drew double digit targets. Didn't matter about his volume. He could never actually put it together. Sims did it very quickly. So I think that that's like a nice, interesting, I don't know if he's going to have fantasy relevance on a week to week basis, but this is an Adam Humphreys-esque slot receiver that could help a green and growing quarterback.
Hey, and get your rice cooker. Kelvin Harmon, 5 for 58. on six targets
today. Finally fell asleep while watching the damn game.
Yeah, you're probably right.
This backfield, though, remains a mystery because I have to imagine that they're going to draft a running back in 2020. You cannot rely on Darius Geis at this point.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And Adrian Peterson is old.
A bajillion years old, yeah.
Let's move along to, oh my goodness, the other overtime game that was absolutely stunning. Eyeballs popping between Dalton and Fitzmagic. My goodness. Now, the Dolphins did end up winning the contest over the Bengals in overtime by a field goal. So don't worry, Bengals fans. You still got Joe Burrow.
Yeah. Like, could you imagine if back in October we told someone that, oh man, in week 16, the Dolphins will participate in a barn burner of an offensive performance, and their opponent will be the one to clinch the number one overall pick. I don't think that's where we thought this season was going for the Dolphins. And that's why I think they've already gotten the greatest gift of all, which is, look, draft picks, that's nice. Cap space, totally get why you need that to flush your roster with talent. Resources, the whole thing, that's wonderful. But even better, the Dolphins have a legitimate set of players to build around on offense. Fitzpatrick has done it again, breathed life into a new team. Devontae Parker's having a pseudo number one receiver season. Bit players like Albert Wilson and Isaiah Ford stepped up big today.
You're going to talk about Mike
Gesicki? And best of all, your boy, Mike Gesicki, over his last five games, in four of five of them, he's gone four catches and or scored a touchdown in four or five of those games. He's coming on.
The Miami schedule down the stretch was the easiest. Strength of schedule. But they optimized those. They exploited the easy matchups. Both of these quarterbacks, from a fantasy perspective, nearly over 400 yards for Fitzpatrick, 396 for Dalton, four touchdowns apiece. They are the number two and number three most productive players at the position from a fantasy perspective in week 16.
It's a beautifully bad shootout.
Woo! Joe Mixon, by the way, I mean, he had the stomach bug, and we talked on Fantasy Football Live about whether we would trust him even though the matchup was so good because he was clearly hampered. I said, yes, I'm all in. I was wrong. He did not find the end zone. He only averaged 2.4 yards per carry. So he ended the day with 73 yards total. But I think I've been the most impressed by him this season, and he's going to remain. Probably he'll end up dropping because of the offense that he's attached to, a second round pick, but I would happily take him in the second round.
Yeah, I mean, you'd like to think that, you know, new quarterback, maybe AJ Green is back. I don't know. I don't have a good read on that situation.
Oh my God, like Elsa into the wilderness, please.
Also, like, their first round pick this year, Jonah Williams, will be back. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's a lot to like.
You don't even need a good offensive line. I mean, Mixon has proved that.
Theoretically, but it could just make it a lot better for the entire offense if that line is better.
Meanwhile, the Dolphins cannot run the ball and they don't have a running back. So let's keep an eye on that situation. And please don't at me about Myles Gaskin. It was one game. We're going to talk about the fourth most productive quarterback at the position from a fantasy perspective, Lamar Jackson.
Ah. Just a ho-hum effort.
Mm-hmm. What, rushing for over 100 yards, NBD.
Throwing three touchdowns. Man, what a shame he didn't have five.
Mm-hmm. Went into Cleveland and said, yeah, whatever happened in week four doesn't matter. We're the superior team. Me and Mark Andrews, we're just going to carry this whole thing, even if Mark Ingram gets injured.
Yep. And that brings me to my gift for them, which is just give them the week off, John Harbaugh. I don't need to see Mark Andrews was out there limping around in the second half. Lamar Jackson was limping around a little bit in the second half. Mark Ingram, like you said, gets hurt. John Harbaugh says he believes there's no structural damage, so get him a couple weeks off. I don't need to see any of these cats until 2020 in the playoffs, because I'm actually kind of intrigued by the idea of Robert Griffin running this offense. We haven't seen him play a full game in an offense that's suited for a player of his skills. Last time we saw him, he's playing with frickin' Hugh Jackson. Give me a break about that.
That was going to be the gift I wanted to ask for myself, was actually wanting to watch RG3, because like we saw and talked about in Arizona's offense with Brett Huntley, like, I want to see what a player, what a mobile quarterback who's never really been elevated with pieces around him in this way, and who is not.
At least not since I was in college.
I want to see what he can do. I want to see how effective this offense really is. And if it isn't, then that much more credit due to Lamar Jackson.
I completely agree.
But you do know, Matt, if these starters are set, then perhaps they will not have the the momentum.
Momentum.
Heading into the off season, heading into the postseason. You know, they might not have that blood pumping through their veins, the winner's advantage. They may have lost their competitive edge.
After Saturday's game between the Texans and the Bucks, we need to just fire the term momentum into the sun, because everybody just says it. Nobody knows what it means. And like, I go back and forth on whether I believe in momentum, but it just shut up with like, wow, the Bucks defense, they just gave Jameis Winston a lot of momentum. Turnover. The Texans, they got a lot of momentum. 3 and out. Like, just shut up.
Like all things, momentum certainly exists. I think you could, speaking of the Ravens, I mean, I think they won a Super Bowl because of the lights going out and them, you know, being able to stop a momentum and move forward in a different way. So I think momentum exists, but like all things, the word is overused, and now we're going to have to cancel it because we're in cancel culture.
Damn. Here, you heard it here first. Momentum has been canceled.
Speaking of canceled, can we get down with the Browns?
Freaking Browns, man. What gift do we want to give them?
I mean,
go away? Like, give us all a gift and go away?
Fine. Come get me. Oh, no, I don't want you.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's, come get me. I never said, like, that was, I was also surprised that Jarvis Landry, we didn't really talk about this on the pod, but the fact that Jarvis Landry was accused of last week being one of the players to say, come get me, to the opposing sideline, to the Cardinals, right? Because, bro, that's contagious.
Yeah. I don't know if I buy that, though. Do you ever my first reaction was like, maybe he said, come get me in like a come fight me type of way, you know?
Like, come at me.
Yeah, come at me type of thing. I don't know. I don't know if I buy that. You know, Landry comes out and categorically denies it. This is the type of stuff I said. I don't want to talk about these Browns anymore.
I also don't think it's at all helpful to make any predictions about the Browns moving forward, because this roster is in flux and the head coach may not be the same. OBJ may not be back. We don't know which players are going to return. I just know that Nick Chubb is going to be a top five pick. Raiders at Chargers. Wow. Wow. Schwitzing. This was hot.
This was, I mean, possibly many are saying not even just the game of the day, but perhaps the game of the year.
A decade is what I heard.
Wow.
We are closing out.
We're in the middle of our all decade content. And when I think of the National Football League, I think about 24-17 Raiders over the Chargers. Brett has his hands in his face. He is sighing. He's disgusted. What's up with this game, Liz? Give me all your takes. Let's go quarter by quarter. First quarter, what caught your eye?
I mean, it took a minute for DeAndre Washington to get going. That was a little bit. Woo! I was sweating that one.
23 carries. He got there.
Hunter Renfrow, though. I mean, you know what? Legit point. You want Derek Carr to do something? You give him a nice short yardage target like Hunter Renfrow, who is a contested catch expert and plays real hard. And they could probably like go out and have brewskis together, whatever the heck they have, IPAs or some nonsense.
Not brewskis. I think maybe like a Sunny D over a
White Claws. They definitely. Hey, don't on my White Claws.
I don't like
these
White
two
Claws.
Definitely have White Claws.
They
together.
Don't taste good. So that's my big problem.
Okay, but
with them.
It's not about you for a minute. Just
okay.
One pause.
Got it. Cool.
Okay. Derek Carr and Hunter Renfrow, you can imagine them smashing White Claws together outside at Derek Carr's pool.
Sure.
Okay. Anyway, what would you like to talk about,
I got,
dear?
I got nothing.
How about Darren Waller?
It's a shame. You had a good point about how Renfrow's return might be bad news for Waller.
Next year, are you optimistic about Waller?
Yeah, probably.
Seventh round pick, probably.
That's a little aggressive, but
tight end position.
I think it's going to be the same for me as like, I would be much more willing to look for the next Darren Waller than to chase this Darren Waller.
Fair enough.
Year.
That is an excellent point. Do you think, like, is Philip Rivers going to retire?
No, but I don't think he's going to be, I don't think he'll be back with the Chargers, but I could see him just wanting to retire. I could see like,
so I mean, he didn't want to move to LA. Like, I don't see him doing the Josh McCown, like, let's go. What's he going to do? Go to Miami and coach up? That Ryan Fitzpatrick is there. Like, I thought Cincinnati and coaching up Joe Burrow.
I don't. Like, I think you might be right. I think he might retire. I wouldn't be surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised either. And then Melvin Gordon's another one.
Then the Chargers become a very interesting quarterback landing spot
for Andy Dalton.
I was thinking for Cam Newton, maybe. That's one team where I could see him. I could see them making like a big move if they believe they're still in contention.
Well, let's talk about Cam Newton. or at least let's talk about his current team, question mark, the Panthers, who got trounced.
They're embarrassed. They're Colts. So embarrassing. What an awful, like, just,
well, there were some injuries. So Will Greer had the start.
Ugh, he was terrible.
I mean, that beard though, Matt, he's so handsome.
What a bad take. What a bad take. He's bad. By the way, the box score for them is freaking hilarious. Like, their receiver box score, 15 for 119 for Christian McCaffrey. Like, tough look for all the dude bros who thought, oh, Kyle Allen just likes to check down, you know. What if Will Greer's not good for that? Because Will Greer liked to throw the ball deep. Speaking of deep, there goes Mr. Trubisky overthrowing Allen Robinson. Will Greer liked to throw the ball deep in college. Well, give me a break. Like, this goofball wasn't going to check down a bunch to Christian McCaffrey, too. 15 catches for him. No one else had more than 3.
119 yards, too. Yeah, like, no. Not just 15 catches, but, like, he went for over 100, almost 120 yards.
They got ran
DJ
over,
Moore
too.
Got hurt in this one, too, which was part of it. And I think you made an excellent point, and that's something that we should carry over into fantasy acumen for 2020, which is that DJ Moore has basically become quarterback proof in terms of production and as a fantasy asset. I like that a lot. He's a player that I think I will tab next year. I want to see where the ADP lands, but he's someone that I'm interested in acquiring.
See, I think my take on him is that, like, he's a bad quarterback's best friend. Not even just, like, we think of quarterback proof as guys like DeAndre Hopkins, Michael Thomas, like, no matter who's out there, they're going to produce. I see of him more like the routes that he runs and where he works on the field. That is, like, it's like perfect for a bad quarterback who just wants to take those layup receptions. And that's what DJ was really good at coming out of college, too.
Indianapolis.
Who cares?
Okay, great.
Do you care?
The only tilting thing was that Marlon Mack and Jordan Wilkins did share more than I anticipated they would.
I don't think they have a ton of incentive to, like, ram Mack, like, 25 times a game. I mean, they could have. Like, they ran all over Carolina today. I think keep Marlon Mack healthy and fresh going into next year. I mean, get him a good game. But I don't think they have a ton of incentive to just destroy him here when the season's over.
Also interesting that Jordan Wilkins then remains the, for now, backup to, instead of Jonathan Williams, like that experiment.
Jonathan Williams was fun for a couple weeks.
He was. This is a team. If I'm giving a gift, I mean, I'm giving this team some receivers.
I agree. And maybe the foresight to look around a little bit at quarterback, too. Maybe I don't think they replaced Jacoby Brissett, but I think they, like, maybe draft someone, throw a little competition in there.
Well, a quarterback competition that I don't really know who's the winner here. I don't know if there are any winners in Jacksonville. They went to Atlanta, and this, I will say, here's a winner in this matchup. It's not Jacksonville. Yes, Atlanta won the game, but also Dan Quinn is the winner. I have been musing for weeks that the Falcons are playing harder since the bye in order to save Dan Quinn's job. And that was actually voiced on the broadcast, putting Arthur Brant Blank in a particularly precarious situation here. I don't know why I am fascinated by the Falcons. I kind of want to hate them every week, but I can't look away.
Yeah, I think they're interesting because they have so many talented players. And this was, I mean, Devonta Freeman, hello, bro. Where have you been all my life? You just needed the Jaguars to come to town.
Sorry if you started Zeke Elliott instead of Devonta frickin' Freeman. I mean, the matchups definitely weighed in Freeman's favor, but
9 for 74 through the air on 11 targets and a touchdown through the air, a touchdown on the ground, and 53 more yards. This was why I drafted Devonta Freeman in the fourth round of all my fantasy drafts. What an idiot.
We were expecting. Yeah. It just happened later. Well, that's also evidence of just how bad the Jags defense is and how much they've laid down.
Oh, yeah. They're so done. They're ready to get to the offseason. They're making golf plans. They're booking vacations. They're not thinking about this anymore.
DJ Chark clearly much more hurt. And you know what else is I was surprised by? Obviously, Desmond Trufant was out in this one. Tack McKinley also banged up. DJ Chark only converted 2 of 7 looks. It was Chris Connolly, who also only caught 2 balls, but was much more effective when he had the ball in his hand. I thought
Snacked
that this
ball,
receiving
yeah.
core would do better given the injuries to the Falcons defense.
Yeah, I think the problem, too, and this was like why there just isn't much Minshew magic left here, is because the offensive line is so bad. The team is so bad. Like, early in the year when like Jalen Ramsey's there and they're not getting blown out on defense every single week, it's like you can keep it close enough. Like, I don't think Minshew's the type of quarterback. It's like, okay, let's spot the other team a 14-point lead and like go shoot your way out of that hole.
I disagree. I mean, you have the fearlessness of Minshew. I mean, you're right in practice, but in theory, it shouldn't be that way. When you have Chark, who is wildly fast, and you have Conley, who can win those 50-50s, and you have Minshew, who's not afraid to push the ball, like, you should be able to do that.
He's not afraid to push the ball, but I think the most stunning quality about him was how little mistakes he made getting to play. And I think getting to play on more favorable scripts really helps that. That was what's caught my eye about him to begin with, beyond the fact of like the whole intrigue of him.
We've talked about the Jaguars a lot this year.
I'm ready to shoot them into the sun.
So let's talk about the Texans at Tampa Bay. I mean, you want to shoot a lot of stuff in the sun, and I feel like this matchup is kind of where you decided things were going to get shot into the sun.
Well, I mean, if I have to shoot something to the sun, I definitely am not asking Jameis Winston to do it because he might miss it. Hit
He's
Pluto.
Miss the sun. Yep.
Yeah. That was really bad, a really bad joke, but I enjoyed making it.
I got it.
This was Jameis Winston's masterpiece game. I think I said this to you earlier.
He said magnum opus.
Magnum. Oh, yeah. That's what I said on Twitter. It was his magnum opus, because, which is the same thing. So, yeah. Are the Bucs going to bring back Jameis? Like, he's their starter next year, right?
Yep. They are. I talked about this with somebody who would like to remain anonymous, and they said that they'd anticipate him coming back on a 1 to 2 year deal. Again, similarly to the Tannehill situation, like not a lot of money, but give him
no competition though.
No, maybe a little bit, but like just going to give him 2 years, because there's the reason is there's an inventory issue. That is a direct quote. Like,
yeah,
there is an issue, and like, what are they going to do?
I would just hope they get something more interesting than Ryan Griffin behind Jameis Winston, because
that is anticipated. But in the draft, like the draft is such a misnomer, right? And they're gonna have to make these decisions before April.
I think, why don't they add a free agent, you know, a mid to low level free agent, and draft somebody? Because the thing with Winston, what's so infuriating about the analysis of Winston is like, people say, well, just imagine if he ever cut down on his turnovers. It's like, what are
he's not doing
it.
Well, this is also what I said in rebuttal of that, is that you had the damn quarterback whisperer come out of retirement. You've given him Mike Evans. You've given him Chris Godwin. You've seen Breshad Perryman come to life with him. And yet the turnover issue remains. So guess what? It's going to stick.
Yeah.
Like, this dude ain't never going to put the seat down. So get used to sitting in the middle of the night in toilet water. That's the way it's going to work.
Yeah, I agree. He's the same quarterback he's been since 2014. Like, what the hell are we doing here? It's the dumbest analysis. Like, imagine Jameis Winston if he didn't have his turnovers. No, that's like saying, imagine what you'd look like without your head.
No, I'd be like, imagine if I was 6 feet tall. Yeah. I'm never going to be 6 feet tall. Get used to that 5'2 life, bitch.
Exactly.
All right, let's go on.
I completely agree.
I'm sorry, this topic makes me bananas.
I get it. This is so, I feel this in my core, because this is so, it's just so annoying. Like, this is who the guy is.
Footnote, Rojo, thanks for twisting the knife.
Well, what else do you expect? Blarg. It's week 16.
Can we talk about Buffalo now? I mean, do you have any more shooting? I just got too heated. I don't know. I don't like it anymore.
That was gorgeous.
The Bills traveled to New England and did not pull off an upset, even though, in the beginning of watching this game, I thought when Rex Burkhead fumbled, I was like, it's happening. And then it didn't.
And it really didn't.
Hope is poison.
In this instance, hope was poison, but I don't subscribe to that as a philosophy. John Brown scored a long touchdown against the best cornerback in the NFL. So awesome. Love that. That was the one thing that, you know, made it move for me here.
And we talked about like bold predictions for next year on one of our halftime shows. And I do think Devin Singletary could be a top five producer. Five is bold, but they wanted us to be bold. So like maybe a top 12 producer.
Yeah.
I do think Devin Singletary, he has ripped off over 100 yards or at least 90 yards in, I think, 5 of his last games against stiff competition. Denver, Baltimore, doesn't matter. He is getting it done. People want to talk about his lack of goal line looks, which is absolutely pertinent to 2019. But I have to imagine that changes in 2020, because I don't know if Frank Gore is going to be back.
Doubt it.
And why not keep this rookie healthy? His name is Motor. He's moving the chains. And I think people are going to forget about the fact that the narrative is going to be, oh, he doesn't score touchdowns. And so his draft stock is going to drop, and he is going to be an awesome value for fantasy in 2020.
I dig that analysis. And same way that we can say, like, who is like Jameis Winston, you can't say who is he without the turnovers because the turnovers will always be there. I think Josh Allen, like, I don't know how much I trust him, but it also equally infuriates me when people are like, well, you take away his rushing ability and Josh Allen's like not good. It's like, no, the rushing ability is part of his game.
You have to love the whole package.
Gotta love the whole package.
Can't just love pieces of it. Julian Edelman is hurt. Who cares? The evil empire reigns.
No, they'll be bested in the postseason. I thoroughly believe that.
Speaking of having been bested and not going to see the postseason, let's talk about the Rams, who were wiped away by your 49ers.
Yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo. Onions drive to end the game.
Definitely made somebody see tears, that's for sure.
Well, Sean McVay was apparently supposed to be shook to his core at the end of that game, at this loss in particular, and big changes could be coming to LA, you know.
Yeah, there's going to be a shakeup.
Yeah, I don't know what that means, but
he gets a new get-back coach.
As Charles Robinson and Therese Paylor said on the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast months ago, Wade Phillips probably not going to be with the team next year.
It's interesting, though, because their defense.
And a report about that came out this week as well.
Yeah, from Mike Silver from NFL Network. I
don't think that's the problem.
That's interesting to me because I think maybe just Wade's at the end of his career, but I think the defense has played well for most of the season, but they have kind of crumbled here of late, and that's with adding a new piece.
Lost Aqib Talib early in the season. They traded away Marcus Peters because Lesney didn't want to, quote, play scared, right? They acquired Jalen Ramsey. Like, all of these moves take – I think the issue here is that this team had a very specific window. And they have a lot of money locked up and they were moonshooting here. And you know what? They, like Jameis Winston, are accidentally going to hit Pluto, to harken back to one of Matt Harmon's wittiest jokes.
Sick. I think the Rams are definitely headed for a little bit of a shakeup, but still believe in the infrastructure of the team long term, because I still think Sean McVay is a good coach.
All right. Well, that will do it for week 16 and our Sunday show. We'll be back on Friday. Have happy holidays, everyone. Stay safe. Eat well. Receive and give. Follow us on Twitter while you're doing that at Yahoo Fantasy. I'm at Liz Loza _FF. That is at Matt Harmon _BYB. And we are...